You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And welcome back. Hour number two, about 30 minutes left here on the Barnabas Health High School Football Show from the Water Street Grill. I want to mention, guys, by the way, in case you've got nothing going on Saturday night, they're going to have a tremendous Halloween party here with a costume contest from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. How about this? They're going to have the overall winner of the best costume gets $250 in cash, $100 gift cards for the scariest costume, the most creative costume, and, of course, the one that Sarluka would win, the sexiest costume.
He wouldn't even have to get dressed up.
Wouldn't have. Just goes himself. Music and all kinds of fun. That's Saturday night right here. Halloween party at the Water Street Grill in Toms River. I know that Coach Callahan hopes that he's celebrating Saturday night a victory. The Monmouth Hawks are coming off a little bit of a tough stretch here, including a homecoming loss on Saturday to Bryant, 27-24. We say good evening to the head football coach at Monmouth, Kevin Callahan. Good evening, Coach.
Good evening, guys. How are you tonight?
We're good, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time rehashing the ugly from last week.
That's fine.
but I do want to ask you one thing, and I'm being very serious.
Okay.
You know, you fought yourself back in, and you got the lead, and then you had an unfortunate turnover at the end of the game, and, you know, the result was not the one you wanted. But to me, in watching the game, I thought the most disappointing thing was not necessarily the final score, but the way your team came out, because it was a phenomenal atmosphere, the best I've seen at Monmouth in the times I've gone to the game, a record crowd of over 4,000 on homecoming. And again, just for me watching, Coach, it seemed like the guys were a little flat early.
Well, we did start slow, and, you know, and that's something that, you know, obviously, you know, in the games that we have lost this year, I mean, that's been kind of what's happened in each one of them, and that's something that we addressed. We addressed after Lehigh. We certainly addressed it, you know, after the Cornell game, and, you know, and unfortunately, again, this week in the Bryant game, we came out and we started slow, and, you know, as you guys know, that's something that you can't do. You know, we talk to our guys all the time about that, about the importance of starting fast and finishing. And we did start slow. You know, we had some penalties early. We weren't clicking the way we like to click, you know, on either offense or defense. Found ourselves in a hole. And as you said, I thought our guys did a good job after the half of battling back and taking the lead and putting ourselves in a position to win it. But you know what? That's a position that's been too familiar to us in our losses this year. You know, we battle back. We put ourselves in a position to win. And then there's a lot of pressure in that last possession or last two possessions to go get that score. And, you know, when you don't get it, you end up losing by 3 points.
Coach, this week Duquesne on the schedule, one of two trips across the state of Pennsylvania that Monmouth has in the next couple of weeks. You think about how the season has kind of now taken this turn for the worse with a three-game losing streak. And Duquesne, a good football team. You know, they're 5-2 overall. They are still thinking of aspirations of a possible league championship. They still have to play Albany and Wagner, a couple of the teams that have one loss on the schedule. And they have some very good players. Larry McCoy, the running back, short of maybe Jordan Brown, he could be the best back in the whole conference.
He, as you said, Matt, he's an excellent back. He was an all-conference pick a year ago. He has had some trouble with an ankle injury, and that's probably why his, you know, maybe his total yardage is down just slightly. But, you know, we watched him in his game last week. He's 100%. He's back to, you know, putting up big numbers. And he's certainly somebody we have to contend with. And then the quarterback, Sean Patterson, was the NEC quarterback last year. And very consistent, gets rid of the ball very quickly, and has got a fairly talented group of receivers to throw the ball to.
Coach, is it a good week? I mean, you know, home, road, obviously last week disappointing at home. Is it a good week to kind of get that, you know, long six-hour bus ride and just let the guys kind of get away from it and maybe not have to worry about things at home this week?
You know, I think it is, Matt. I think I can tell you this. You know, after you and I spoke on Tuesday, and I told you that night that I thought Tuesday's practice was excellent, and, you know, our guys have now kind of refocused things, and, you know, in terms of we have four games left and what we need to do, and we had great practices on Wednesday and then again this afternoon, and So, you know, I think getting on the bus, relaxing a little bit, take that 6.5 hour drive and get ready to play might be just what we need right now. You know, obviously we'd like to be playing in front of a great home crowd, and we didn't make the most of that last weekend. But I think that might be a positive for us right now. And, you know, one of the things I think, you know, going into last week was that, you know, we knew we had that loss at Albany, and maybe our guys were pressing a little bit. You know, in the NEC in football, it's you know, if you're gunning for the championship, which has obviously been our goal and something that we wanted to achieve, you know, once you get a loss, and we had one up at Albany, you know, you start pressing a little bit because you know that, hey, one more, and your chances of winning that championship have been diminished greatly. I think now with that gone and without a complete fallout in the NEC, I mean, we know we're probably not going to be in that championship hunt. But you know what? We have four games left. And I know the guys on our team are very competitive and they want to go win. And, hey, it's a competition. It's a game. And I think we'll be at our best on Saturday.
Okay, Coach. You know, every team throughout the season, you know, 10, 11-game season, reaches a point, you know, where we say, okay, it's got to turn. Obviously, you're there right now, okay?
If you weren't there, no question about it.
Yeah, you're definitely at a crossroads. So my question is simple, and I'm not going to say one thing, but give me three things for your team that has to change in order for you to win the last four games.
Number one, we have to start fast. We can't come out and kind of, you know, gauge the pace of the game and then decide we got to play a little bit faster. So we have to start fast. Number two, we've got to go out and we've got to play better defense consistently throughout the game. You know, not wait till the second half to get it going. And by that I mean not give up big plays and do a better job on third down, something that early in the season in the first four games we were outstanding at. We got to get back to that. And number three, we have to finish. When we get opportunities late in the game, like we've had in our losses, to go down and score and win the game, we've got to make the most of them. I would say those are the three things. Start fast, play good well on defense, and that means no big plays, and do a better job on third downs, and then finish.
Yeah, Coach, I was just going to say one more thing. You know, people that have never coached before, you know, and that's most of the fans that are sitting in the stands, if not all
right.
of them, right?
Yep.
They don't understand that it's only sometimes one, two, or maybe three plays a game that makes the difference between winning it and losing it, you know? And that's where Monmouth University is right now, I think.
There's no doubt about that, and you know, we try to point that out when we watch the video on Sundays with our team, and you know, we look through it, and you know, we came away from Saturday saying, guys, there's a lot of good stuff going on here.
Right.
There's an awful lot of good stuff. There's more good stuff than there is negative. But you know, the negative things at the wrong time prevented us from winning, and I can say that about the Bryant game. I can say that about the Cornell game. I can even say that about the Lehigh game, for all that matter. And it's, as you know, Ed, you know, having coached, it's, you know, staying consistent and playing from start to finish.
Yep.
All right, so Saturday the Hawks will be at Duquesne. That is a 12:10 kickoff. You can catch all the action beginning at noon on the Shore Sports Network, 1160 and 1310 AM, and at shoresportsnetwork.com. Coach, I hope you have a good trip out there. More importantly, I hope you have a great trip back. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the time.
And, of course, you can hear Coach Callahan along with Matt every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on 1160 and 1310 when they do the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little playoff action. Upcoming playoff action maybe involving Shore Conference teams with Scott Stump. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.
After every big high school football game, players, coaches, parents, and fans want to know, is this going to be on All Shore Media? When it comes to Shore Conference football, All Shore Media is your home for exciting video highlights, game stories, player features, and more. Visit allshoremedia.com for everything from in-game updates, scoreboards, top 10 rankings, and more. Don't miss their free bi-weekly newspaper, the All Shore Media Sports Review, available at all Wawa stores in Monmouth and Ocean County. All Shore Media, your home for Shore Conference Conference football. Add more excitement to your life at Water Street Bar & Grill in Toms River. Every night is the perfect night for Water Street with happy hour specials every day and live entertainment every weekend. Enjoy 2-for-1 burgers on Tuesday and $5 margarita pizzas and sangrias on Wednesdays. Football fan? Catch all the hard-hitting action on 21 HD TVs, plus enjoy drink and food specials during every game. Baker's Water Street is located across from Huddy Park on Robin Street in downtown Toms River. Visit them at bakerswaterstreet.com.
There's a guy who got pretty famous writing songs about growing up in New Jersey. Kids with nowhere to go, nothing to do. So what about today's youth in Point Pleasant? Well, they're hanging out at Yo Got It Yogurt Shop, literally the coolest place in Point Pleasant, serving themselves 15 rotating seasonal flavors with 60 delicious toppings, hanging out in their lounge, listening to music, and playing video games. Yo Got It is two floors of fun at 606 Arnold Avenue in Point Pleasant. If you're looking for somewhere to go or something to do, or maybe you just like yogurt and music, come and hang out at Yo Got It.
Add more excitement to your life at Water Street Bar & Grill in Toms River. Every night is the perfect night for Water Street with happy hour specials every day and live entertainment every weekend. Enjoy 2-for-1 burgers on Tuesday and $5 margarita pizzas and sangrias on Wednesdays. Football fan? Catch all the hard-hitting action on 21 HD TVs, plus enjoy drink and food specials during every game. Baker's Water Street is located across from Huddy Park on Robin Street in downtown Toms River. Visit them at bakerswaterstreet.com.
There's something special about seeing your son take the field with his team. The roar of the crowd as they charge between lines of cheerleaders, fists punching the cool night air. You hear the tinny echo of the PA and the familiar fight song from the marching band. And it takes you back to when you were on that field, in these stands, so many years ago. This is the stuff high school memories are made of. Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers are proud to be a part of Jersey Shore High School football. And should the need arise, we're ready with the region's most experienced team of orthopedic sports medicine specialists, experts in the very latest minimally invasive techniques. Football season won't last forever, but the memories will. To learn more about the extraordinary orthopedic care you'll find at Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers, visit barnabashealth.org. Or call 888-724-7123.
Now back to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, powered by Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
We have talked a couple times tonight about it. We're in the home stretch before the state football playoffs start. For some teams, one game, some have two. Left to helping us sort it all out heading into this weekend is Scott Stump from AllShoreMedia.com. Also, the All Shore Media Review, which you can pick up free at any Wawa in Ocean and Monmouth counties. And indeed, Scott, this is certainly a critical weekend for a lot of teams when it comes to the football playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, these are two of the most fun weeks of the season coming up. I mean, obviously, there's the excitement of the playoffs, but sort of this time of year when a lot of teams are still jockeying for a spot or fighting for their lives, trying to get home games. And, yeah, there's a lot of games with big stakes this weekend.
And one of the intriguing things is, you know, we were looking at it earlier, is with the expanded state playoffs, there's a lot of teams that you really wouldn't call very good teams that are likely headed for the postseason.
Yeah, I was talking about this with someone the other day about it's just so watered down. It's funny because I remember so many years you'd go and check the points in like South Jersey Group 4 or Central Jersey Group 4, and some really good teams would be in 7th or 8th at, you know, with only one or two losses, but now those teams are all in 3rd or 4th because the brackets have been watered down. So I think some of the excitement of the past when, you know, a team that might be 5-2 still has to fight its way in is kind of gone, and now you have teams that are, you know, could be barely 4-4 or 3-5 even that might have a shot of getting in.
Yeah, while I think some of those teams will get in, I don't think any of those teams will eventually win state titles because, you know, the long road is 3 victories get you a championship, and, you know, the cream will rise to the top in most of those divisions, Scott. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but the NJSAA will get their fees. So, mission accomplished.
Exactly. 21 extra games, I believe, the state has put out there by making that Group 5 category.
Scott, who is in a absolute must-win situation for state playoff purposes this week?
Well, one game that I think is interesting is Jackson Liberty has never made the state playoffs, and they're at Point Borough. And Borough looks like they're pretty solidly in South Jersey Group 3, whereas Jackson Liberty's kind of hanging around there right at the fringes of Central Jersey Group 4. So I think for them, that's a really key game. And then you got teams like, you know, Holmdel and St. John Vianney. Holmdel's 3-4, Vianney 3-3. Another two teams, you know, that pretty much have to have a win to have a legitimate shot. You know, you got a team like Ocean that's a little bit out of the running right now, but if they beat Wall, you know, and then going into next week can get a win, they could be in. So I think that's another important game as far as teams hanging around the fringes. And then you just, you know, you have some heavyweight battles that could decide top seeds, you know, like Toms River North and Manalapan and Middletown South and RBC and games like that. And a game I think is really interesting is Toms River South, who, you know, a lot of people might not have thought would be fighting for a playoff spot at this point, is right there. And if they can keep the momentum going and find a way to upset Brick Memorial, they could go from, you know, a winless season 2 years ago to most likely in the playoffs, which would be a remarkable turnaround for Coach Signorino Jr. in that program.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Mariners. What has happened to the Mariners? You know, that was an inexcusable, although it was a Cinderella-inspiring story at Brick last week, that's an inexcusable loss.
Yeah, I think it's two things. I mean, one, as you guys talked about earlier, so their run defense got trampled. You know, Brick, Brick ran them over for 300-plus yards, so you obviously have to clean that up, especially facing a Manalapan team that always runs the ball well. And I just think the other thing is, you know, the ball hasn't necessarily gotten in the hands of their playmakers as much as maybe it should have. I mean, Joey Fields, who's kind of a touchdown potential on any play, I don't even think he touched the ball once in the second half against Brick last week, and Kyle Carrington only had a handful of catches. So I think they need to get back to, you know, really trying to get the ball out there on the perimeter to their playmakers down the field, and using that to complement, you know, the good running game with Carmen Sclafani running the option. But I just think they need to get their top players in space out where they can really cause trouble and make the opposing defense adjust.
Scott, the team that we'll see tomorrow night is Lacey. You know, they've already wrapped up the Class A South conference.
A tie.
I mean,
it's a tie.
How much do they really have to play for the next couple of weeks? You know, they're one of those teams that plays nine games before the cutoff.
Well, I think this game is really important for them because, A, they can lock up the A-South title outright all to themselves and not share it, you know, which is always a nice thing. And, B, they're gunning for that number one seed in that South Jersey Group 4 bracket, so for them, they need to have these points because obviously, as we know, the next week's game to me is going to be the weirdest game of all because in the preseason, you would have thought that Brick Memorial Lacey game, especially at the first couple of weeks, was going to be huge. Instead, it's the ninth game, and Lacey may have already wrapped up the division, so it could be almost meaningless. It's essentially a game to get Connor Davies, their sophomore quarterback, really prepared for the state playoffs because, as we know, he's going to have to step in and start for Tom Kelly, their junior, who was having a brilliant season but broke his collarbone in the win over Jackson Memorial. So I think these 2 weeks are really crucial to get Connor Davies acclimated, get him into the flow of that offense. I mean, he did a lot of the 7-on-7s this summer. He alternated with Kelly, so he has seen action. Obviously, his father, Corey Davies, is the offensive coordinator, so he's getting coached at the dinner table every night. But that's what I think the most important thing is for Lacey right now. Get him comfortable, get this win, and try and at least guarantee yourself two home games in the state playoffs.
That is Scott Stump, who you can read at allshoremedia.com 24/7, also shoresportsnetwork.com. As always, Stumpy, thank you so much. Have a great football weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks.
This week on the Barnabas Health High School Football Show Medical Spotlight, we're delighted to talk with Dr. Andrew Harrison, an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist on staff at Kimball Medical Center. Our subject is going to be fractures and breaks and things like that. And I welcome Dr. Harrison and appreciate so much you giving us a few minutes of your time.
Thank you for having me.
It's great. Obviously, we talk mostly high school football, and broken bones are certainly nothing unusual when it comes to a sport like that or any other contact sport. Is there a simple answer for what exactly a broken bone is?
To simplify it the best we can, it's the bone lining and the marrow in between it has been disrupted. There's a line that is either straight or jagged that has disrupted through the bone itself.
Now, I would imagine the average person thinks of a break and a fracture as the same thing, but my guess is you might tell me they are two different things.
Well, actually, it's a misnomer, a misconception in the layman public that there's a difference between the two. There actually is not. The medical terminology for a broken bone is a fracture. So they actually are the same thing. What patients tell me is one signifies that it's worse than the other, like a break is worse than a fracture. But really what signifies that is if the fracture is displaced or not. So I'm trying to teach all my patients fracture equals broken bone.
That sounds fair enough. All right, obviously, there are more severe types of breaks. We've heard the expression sometimes, it was a clean break, or you might even hear it to the other extreme, it's a compound fracture. Help us with that a little bit.
Yes, and that's correct. Like a clean break would be synonymous with a hairline fracture or a stress fracture, where it's a very thin line, the simplest break there is. Then a fracture could be comminuted. Comminuted means it's more than two pieces. Three, four, six sometimes we see in bad fractures. And then compound means open. So you like for your fracture to be covered by skin, not be so broken that the spikes of bone pierce through the skin and get into the open environment, which could make you vulnerable to infection.
You know, Doc, when we hear the term stress fracture, it's very often it seems it applies to an injury of the foot. Is that the common place for a stress fracture? It's probably a term that maybe in the world of sports you didn't hear 20 or 30 years ago, but it's very common now.
Yes, and that's the more common site because that is the hardest, the most common area of impact because you're running, whether you be a cross trainer, cross country person, football player. That takes a lot of the impact and force from your body weight and from the physical activity that you're doing. And it directly impacts itself upon the ground surface. So it is the more common site.
Are young athletes more prone to certain kinds of fractures because their bodies haven't fully developed?
Yes. In fact, when you're young and what we call skeletally immature, we don't mean mentally, right? You're talking about the bone. But your growth plates at the ends of your bones are soft. They're cells. They're cells and microscopic cells that are actually making bone, making your bones longer so you grow and get your height. Well, they're more vulnerable now to slipping and to being broken into. The bone can be a little bit softer because it's what we call dynamic. It's actually growing in length. It's moving. And so, yeah, you're more vulnerable in that situation.
I mean, it seems this might be an obvious question, but what are the signs of a broken bone or a fracture?
The more common thing is more intense pain than a regular sprain would give you. But the key with especially the lower extremity injuries is difficult to weight bear on them.
That's fair enough. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Harrison, who's an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist on staff at Kimball Medical Center. So, at an organized sporting event, I think it's fairly obvious at high school football games today, there are athletic trainers. So if something happens, the trainer is going to know what to do right away. How about in the case of somebody who might be injured and where there's not a benefit of an athletic trainer around? What are some of the things that should be done immediately?
Some of the basic things is rest, ice, compression, elevation, any access to an ACE bandage, and splinting mechanisms. So there sometimes are wooden sticks that are around, like planks and things like that you can find nearby. Other teams may have padded types of slats or things that you could try to basically span the fracture, wrap it up with an ACE or some type of wrapping or string, just to immobilize the extremity so that until you get the patient to an emergency room.
I one more thing I'm going to throw at you, and that is the recovery. And I guess obviously the extent of the break would determine that. But what is the average time for a broken bone to heal in a high school athlete?
4 to 6 weeks, youngsters heal faster than us good old adults. So I've seen them heal as early as even 3 weeks. But your average time for most fractures is going to be 4 to 6 weeks.
And obviously,
6 weeks
before,
being the ballpark number.
Right. And obviously, before that athlete is cleared to return, there's probably going to be an X-ray taken to show that it has completely healed, correct?
Yes, we always follow patients with X-rays. We match what we call X-ray findings with exam findings to assess whether a fracture has completely healed. And they may take a couple of weeks even thereafter to get their range of motion back because they've been stiff in the cast for a while, and then we may be ready to clear them to play.
Well, we've been fortunate to get a few minutes of your time. Dr. Andrew Harrison, orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist. He's on staff at Kimball Medical Center in Lakewood, and obviously a busy time of year. You probably see a lot of athletes during the fall season, but we appreciate your time and your expertise, and thanks so much.
Absolutely, and thank you as well.
All right, last week, pick six time, all of us picked all the same games, which meant that no change in the standings. We all went 4-2. Ed is 28-14. 29-13. A game up on me. I'm 28-14, and just a game ahead of Matt, who's 27-15. So it's a real horse race as we head into the eighth week of the season. We'll start with the game we're broadcasting tomorrow night right here on 105.7 The Hawk. The open MRI game of the week. We'll find the Lions of Lacey looking to wrap up the A-South Championship at Brick. Coach Sarluka, do they do that?
I think they will wrap up the A and make the Memorial game a nothing game.
I take Lacey as well.
I am also taking Lacey.
A non-conference game with a lot of implications. Toms River North heads to Manalapan. I will start, and I will take the home team, Manalapan.
Cinderella season this year for the Braves. I think good shot at going all the way, 12-0.
Yeah, I'm taking Manalapan also.
Brick Memorial at Toms River South. The Stangs looking to snap a two-game losing streak against an Indian team coming off an impressive win over Toms River East. What happens, Mr. Harmon?
I'm going to take Brick Memorial. I mean, this is a game that they absolutely have to have. A couple weeks ago, I would have said meaningless game almost for them. Not anymore.
I agree, Kevin. You know, it's a very important game for the Mustangs, and it's a trendy pick to pick the Indians, but I'm going to go Mustangs.
Had a lot of trouble with this one, but I went Brick Memorial. I think they snapped the slide. The biggest game of the weekend in terms of powered teams, a couple of real strong ones. Red Bank Catholic heads to what they used to call the Swamp, Middletown South. I like RBC to maintain their undefeated streak.
I'm going to take the upset here. I'm going to go with the Eagles, so we won't have the same picks. For one reason, I think the Eagles could pull it off.
I'm taking Red Bank Catholic.
Well, we talked a lot of Lakewood football tonight as the Piners head to Barnegat in a very important game for Lakewood and Barnegat as well to keep alive any playoff hopes. Who's that?
LJ, I hope you're listening. I've bought into your program. I am picking the Piners of Lakewood.
I have Lakewood in that game also.
I will admit that I picked Barnegat in the Asbury Park Press tomorrow, and I told you guys before our picks, I'm sorry, I've got LJ fever.
Yeah.
I'm going to change it with us. I'm going to go Lakewood. And finally, Mattawan at Long Branch, I think a very interesting game in Monmouth County. I went with the green wave of LB.
Yeah, I think the running game just too good, and Dwight Clark ready to make his comeback for for Long Branch.
I have Long Branch, too.
All right, so not much difference really this week, just the one game.
Yeah, that's it.
We've got to try and find something to, you know,
break these.
I mean, you guys keep following my picks. It's just getting ridiculous. That is pretty much gonna
wrap it
up for us tonight.
What time is the Yankee game on, Matt?
Spring training starts in February, my friend. Thanks to our guests from Lakewood, L.J. Clark, and Marquise Oliver. From Rumson High School, Shane Fallon and Danny Roberto. Manalapan coach Ed Guerreri. Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan, Scott Stump, and Dr. Andrew Harrison. Special thanks, of course, to Tom Tremblay here at the Water Street Grill for making all the things work, and Phil Harding back at the studios of 105.7 The Hawk for keeping us on the air. Tomorrow night, it's Lacey at Brick. Join us right here on The Hawk. For my colleagues Matt Harmon and Ed Sarluka, I am Kevin Williams. I hope you have a great Thursday evening. We'll talk to you next week. You've been listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.
The Barnabas Health High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on 105.7 The Hawk, was powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Join us again next week. Get a complete look at Shore Conference football. And for more, anytime, log on to ShoreSportsNetwork.com.